Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Wow. You know, I think I should name this episode, Wow. It's mind-blowing. Look, they, and my audience knows who they are good at one thing, and that's lying. And one effective way to do that is to tell so many lies that when the truth does present itself, we won't believe it. We simply come to a place where we don't know what to believe. And I'm going to talk to you about that and what to do when it happens as I bring out some new information about this whole balloon thing and some other stuff. It's going to be a bomb-throwing show, my friend. Bursts of insights that will lighten the sky of your life like an atomic bomb blast. Har har. But without the radiation, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Tory says, raises alarm with North Dakota officials regarding the purchase by CCP, Chinese Communist Party, of farmland in North Dakota. And concerned about reports of a CCP military training base operating only 10 miles across the border of North Dakota into Canada, she takes it upon herself to do a little drive-by and put her eyes on the military training camp, sees it, confirming what we've known for some time. Trudeau is in bed with Xi and allowing the CCP to position soldiers literally on our border with Canada. So this takes us to the balloon thing, and this is where it gets really weird. Literally, it's a challenge to follow this story as it develops. First, as we all know, for the CCP to fly a surveillance balloon, and I mean literally across a cross-section of the United States, is, well, to say the least, extraordinary. It was allegedly launched from the Arctic and driven across the Aleutian Islands off the coast of Alaska, so it was in U.S. airspace, really, right then. But we're told it was spotted first by some sky watcher, a U.S. citizen in Montana. So, I suppose it must have then, if this is all true, crossed over Canada, or at least parts of it, and re-entered into our airspace along our border with Canada. Then you've seen the maps showing its path as it cut across southeast, as it cut southeast across the continental United States, and finally moved off over the Atlantic at South Carolina, where it was shot down by one of our jets, right? You've seen all that. So many questions are raised by this. I explored a few of them last week. It's literally hard to know where to begin. But let's start here, where Tory says started in an interview I listened in on with Joe Altman and Apollo on Conservative Daily. And go here to view the interview yourself. For sake of full disclosure, Miss or Mrs. Maras, Maras, I believe is how she pronounced it. I couldn't make out the pronunciation of her first name when I heard it spoken by her on an audio tape recording of a meeting, a presentation she made to a North Dakota, I guess it was a council meeting of some sort, during a citizen's comments. So all I have is her last name, clearly, Maras. And the fact that Joe refers to her consistently as Tory, so I'm going to say Tory Maras, of At Tory Says. She is a former CIA agent, I understand, whose credits include direct participation in the color revolution that went down in Ukraine. She worked in that field as a CIA agent for, I think she said something like 40 years or more. So anyway, she has turned whistleblower and deployed her very adroit skills toward exposing what is going on with our FBI, DOJ, CIA, NSA, and DIA, and so on. Exposing the treasonous relationship of these three-letter institutions in our government with the CCP. And this isn't to say that everybody in those organizations is corrupt and owned by CCP, but much of the leadership is. Tory is keen on how the CIA uses misdirection and misinformation and disinformation to manipulate Americans and political policy in the United States. She was on the inside and participated in that activity, as I pointed out. She looks at the origin of the balloon story and smells a CIA op. She asked, who is this person, a totally unknown individual, who happened to look up into the sky and notice a white ball floating along, took some video with her, I don't know if it was a her or a he, by the way. I think it was a her, who used his or her iPhone or whatever phone and posted this video to her totally unknown and unremarkable Facebook page. And it exploded into a viral thing within a few minutes. So Tory wonders, how did it go viral so quickly from a totally unknown individual? And at what point does it come out that it's a CCP surveillance balloon? Right? So first off, Tory thinks it's a CIA op, and she's suspicious. So she looks into it, starts questioning the whole narrative. And lo and behold, it comes out in the news lately that there were a lot of Western parts on this thing, that actually it's stamped made in the United States. So what's that about? Tory asked, why are they pushing the made in China angle? Once again, coming from someone who has some personal experience in espionage and inside the spook world knowledge of CCP capability, she explains it makes no sense at all for CCP to send something across the United States that's so obvious, or as she put it, so pedestrian, you know, lacking inspiration, dull, without imagination. And I'll add this, without the usual oriental subtlety. And besides, she tells us she knows CCP capability and that they would never have deployed something like this balloon, turned out to be, because they have technology, she described it, that would make the balloon invisible to the naked eye. If it was a preparation for an attack, they would certainly have given up the element of surprise entirely by using a balloon like this. And the CCP are too clever for that kind of thing. So if China sent it, they intended it would be discovered. And for Biden and the Pentagon to allow it passage across our states, and we know they did know about the balloon and that they believed it was from Chinese Communist Party, and they knew all this before it entered the U.S. airspace, this is what they're telling us, for them to allow it to traverse the states is unconscionable. And by the way, the argument they were concerned that shooting it down over Montana would possibly put Montanans at risk is bogus. And only people who live in densely populated cities and suburbs would ever buy it. And that is most Americans, I guess. And that's how they get by with this kind of thing. Because Montana is mostly open ranges. And for many, many miles, that balloon traveled unchecked over empty land. This thing would have dropped directly to the ground, probably within the circumference area of a football field or stadium, something like that. The military would be able to know with great precision where it would make contact with terra firma. So that's another thing. And I brought that out last week. For what reason would the U.S. allow this to happen? Why would China send a U.S.-made balloon? If it was an act of war, why not use the technology China has and send one of their stealth balloons? How did this totally unknown Montana sky watcher have her video go viral in a world where, we know, the United States government literally contracts with social media giants, really owns them? You've heard, I'm sure, that Twitter, for example, it's come out, was created as a DARPA project. Yeah, I brought out some years ago the intel exposing Facebook was a CIA-funded operation where CIA bought into Zuckerberg's college networking application for their own purposes, right? Now, so how does someone that is a total unknown have a balloon video that goes viral in a matter of minutes? Unless the CIA and the DOJ, operating through the social media companies, wanted it to go viral. They're very effective at stopping from getting out there what they don't want out there. Tory says this happens only when the CIA does something she called enhancing the story, and they enhance the stories they want to push. We remember Tori is coming from an inside look at this stuff. And she tells us when she looked at the photographs, she immediately recognized it as a Google balloon. She points out that this spy balloon, quote unquote, is conveniently floated at the same time propaganda is being pushed that Putin, quote, will nuke the Atlantic to submerge the United Kingdom and New York City, end quote. Yeah. And on the heels of this startling and disturbing news, the story breaks in the MSM that, in fact, Biden's administration did blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. Now, here you go. From the town hall tip sheet, bombshell report alleges U.S. behind sabotage of Nord Stream pipeline. I've got the article here. So we have what appears to be an invasion into U.S. airspace by China, a CCP, Chinese Communist Party, rumors that Russia is threatening to nuke the Atlantic to take out the UK and New York City, the admission in the MSM, legacy media, etc., that Biden's administration ordered the Nord Stream pipeline carrying Russian oil to Germany and then from there to Western Europe to be sabotaged. And that in order to get around the law that requires Biden to advise Congress or Pentagon to advise Congress of such an operation, special ops operation, before they implement it. Well, Biden's administration uses a specialized Navy diving team that are not designated for special secret ops. See how these clever liars dance in the shadows of legality? Anyway, you can see what a rabbit hole this stuff can become very quickly. The point is this. I think Tory offers some very interesting observations, and they tend to power the add-up of the facts toward a different conclusion than what we've been, it appears, led to believe. Now, add to this questions I've raised about the Russia invasion of Ukraine. For the record, at first, it seemed to be, you know, the big mean Russia attacking little Ukraine, right? taking advantage of a weak U.S. president and an opportunity to reunite Ukraine to Russia, something we know he wants to do. But as more and more information comes out about all of this, it's looking increasingly like Zelensky is a grifter, taking America and the rest of the West for all he can get. And that Biden's interest in Ukraine is about a major cover-up of his own grifting operations in Ukraine. Money laundering, power brokering, all this stuff. Wow, this thing is beginning to look like a major operation to draw the world into another world war. Something we already know the globalists want to use it to further their agenda toward completing Nimrod's tower and bringing forward the man of sin, the Antichrist, the 666 dude, you know, whose agenda is depopulation of the planet and subjugation of mankind to tyranny. You know, I've always been suspicious about the left posturing as anti-Russia. The idea that Biden and Putin are enemies, that never felt right to me. Or that Hillary and Russia, all that, it's just something was wrong with that. Something troubled my gut about that from the very beginning. Sometimes I thought it was because I grew up during the Cold War and through the Marxist infiltration of our government coming out of the Vietnam era. But every time I look closely at all of this, it just doesn't add up. Anyway, frankly, trying to keep up with the rise and fall of these stories as they ebb and flow, as they build their narrative, is rather like standing on a boat in very wavy, rolling water. I mean, it's enough really to make one seasick watching the constantly changing seascape here. So let's wrap up this first segment. It's beginning to appear that this whole thing is a setup intended by Nimrod's tower builders. If you've been a follower of the Brain Massage Show, you know what I'm talking about. To draw us into a major world war between the West and the combined powers of China, Russia, and Iran, at least, maybe some others would join in with them, like Turkey and so on. If you add the whole depopulation agenda that we know is driven by the climate change scam, the plandemic vectorizing with the ridiculously obvious big pharma vax pushers, the whole transhumanism thing, which I'm preparing to speak more to in a future show, where all of this is looking more and more like it's all interrelated, interconnected, intertwined. an intrigue of the heathen who hate God in America, who are banded together to throw off the bands and cords of Christ the King, to create the New World Order, setting the capstone in place as an homage to Nimrod's tower. And now, to add insult to all of this injury, we learned that Conic, remember that company? That's the one involved in compromising our elections. Proved, by the way. The CEO was sending election personnel data to China. And exactly as I predicted, at the time this story first broke, the LA district attorney who charged that CEO, Mr. Yu, with this crime, I said he would drop all the charges. Just get past the election and watch what he'll drop all. That's exactly what he did. LA district attorney dropped all charges against Mr. Yu, the CEO of Conic. I think it was on November 11th or something like that. What a surprise. Now we learn that this Chinese company, Conic, is funded by the DOD, our own Department of Defense. What business does the United States Department of Defense have funding any Chinese company, especially one that's complicit in stealing our elections? Hold on to the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur. And Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that is right now working at stealing from us all of our liberties. So I want to talk to you about what to do when you've been lied to so many times with so many different stories and spins. You no longer believe anything. I mean, not even the truth. The first thing you've got to do is recognize that's the plan. They spin the stories one way, and then they spin it another way, so that you're constantly kept off balance, so that it's literally dizzying. And when the truth does present itself, well, we can hardly focus on it or even see it. And that's by design. It's sort of like flak. You know, the scattering of decoys from an aircraft to confuse any missile tracking the plane. When the missile of truth locks on a targeted lie, the wicked attempt to so totally confuse the public by putting forward so many spins on a story and create so many versions, all more or less plausible, so that the general public really can't see the truth when it's put right in front of their face. Here are some rules I follow. Rule number one, I do not commit myself to any man because I know what's in him. Now, I picked that one up from Jesus' example. In fact, most of these come from biblical precepts. Jesus did not commit himself, the Bible says, unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John 2:24-25. So the first rule, I don't commit myself to any man. Because I know that man is weak and limited, and including myself. Rule number two, always weigh everything you hear against what you know for sure. And then you have like a rule 2A under this. Regularly re-verify what you know for sure. Every time somebody comes up that seems to challenge something I considered well settled, I take the time to re-examine my position. I recommend that. Rule number three, examine the fruit of the source. Interestingly, the Bible represents men as trees, Psalm 1, Romans 10, 11, and various other places. And every tree, as everyone knows, is known by its fruit. This is another biblical principle. You shall know them by their fruits, Jesus said in Matthew 7:16. Jesus said, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Someone who consistently espouses policies that bring evil into the world is proof that the tree from which these policies derive is bad. You should never base any conclusion about what's going on in the wide world on the basis of news you're getting or views you're taking from corrupt people. This doesn't mean corrupt people never say truthful things. The devil would use the truth from time to time, but always in order to advance a lie. It does mean you should never, ever have confidence in any conclusion if the soul source is a corrupt man or woman. And if in the wake of their lives there is a consistent manifestation of evil bubbling up, you'll be wise to ignore their recommendations to your opinions. And then rule number four, test everything you hear. Another biblical principle, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, liars, are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. Now this includes a sort of clearing test. He went on to say, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come into the world. Even now already is it in the world. That's 1 John 4, 2-3, something of a paraphrase, but that's the gist of it. Allow me to elaborate on this one. The primary takeaway here is to test everything you hear against the truth you know. To expand on this, Jesus declared that he is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And our Lord prayed, our King prayed, quote, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17:17. So obviously, if you hear something or read something that clearly contradicts something you hear or read in the Bible, well, you can dismiss it as a lie or as untruth, or you certainly cannot trust it. For example, when you hear someone tell you a man can be a girl and a man can be pregnant, I chose an obvious one on purpose, but first of all, don't give up what you know to be true. But if they do succeed to confuse you, well, know that you can count on God being true. And so you can apply the rule, let God be true, but every man a liar, Romans 3:4. So you can know with certainty this gender confusion nonsense is a lie, and a silly one at that, because God told you he created man, male and female, two genders, and two genders only. And that illustrates how this works. So when you examine someone like Ukraine's Zelensky, and you see him wearing women's attire and dressed in high heels and playing the piano, well, you probably know about that. We don't need to go into anything explicit here. And you see this is something of a pattern with this guy. Well, you know there's something wrong here. You know he's a pervert and a deceiver. The fruit of this man must be expected to be evil. If there is a conversion story somewhere, well, let's hear it. And then you would want to take that into consideration. But otherwise, you see what I mean? Further, on the rule number four, if the source of the story is a person who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, well, you can expect him or her to be in alignment with the spirit of Antichrist, according to this text. You can expect them to be committed to the agenda of the Antichrist spirit, which is, by the way, to pull together the world into a one-world government ruled by tyranny. To deny Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is effectively to deny that Jesus is the promised ruler of heaven and earth, and that he reigns now. Jesus Christ is king, and all mankind are his subjects, and any who object or reject that are of another spirit, and you can't trust them. Rule number five, sharpen your senses, your ability to discern between good and evil, by much use of God's words. And the only way to sharpen your spiritual discernment is then by much use of the scriptures. According to Hebrews 5, verse 14, you study to show yourself approved. The greater knowledge of scripture, the more sharpened will be your senses to discern both good and evil. And now rule number six, this is the faith principle. You must believe that God will be good to you and guide you to truth by his spirit. John 16:13. That is, if you have his spirit in you. If you're a genuine lover of truth, Jesus made it clear, you will come to the light. If you're a lover of darkness, well, you're going to hate the light and avoid it. People who sincerely love light are drawn to it. Those who love darkness, well, they recoil from it. And this is because their deeds are evil, Jesus said. And they don't like what the light exposes about them, so they avoid it. In order to have the Holy Spirit come into you with the promise that he will guide you to truth, well, you need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You can trust God to guide you to the truth is the point here. So be patient. Wait, watch, pay attention. follow the rules I outlined above, and you'll come to the truth. The truth will be revealed to you. And then number 7, ask, seek, and knock. Another biblical principle, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, Matthew 7:7. So ask for the truth. Dedicate yourself to a sincere effort to go forward and find it. Seek for the truth. And then knock on every door you come to. Do the work of research. I would apply it that way here. Do the work of research and prayerful study. God will reward a sincere seeker of truth. Now, I know these rules have helped me to and continue to help me day by day as I go forward through this labyrinth of lies, seeking to, follow the breadcrumbs to the truth. Any believer diligently following these rules will come to the truth. It can get confusing. The devil is a clever liar, and sometimes he appears as an angel of light, you know, to confuse things even more. But if you follow the rules I've outlined for you here, well, you will see through it, and you will come to the truth. Okay, my friends, until next time. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. I'm traveling this weekend to preach at a church down south, and then Wednesday I'll be preaching in a church up north, Northern California. So our assistant pastors do such an extraordinary job. I know you'll enjoy church at the Lighthouse this coming Sunday, and we're going to have what's called a condensed service. We're going to have breakfast available on the grounds, and then following that, our first, second, and third service will be just back-to-back with a break in between, a lot of great music. And you are invited, my friends, to come join us at the Lighthouse Baptist Church this Sunday.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Go to GodsWar2020.com. God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com.